and he's still doing miracles, that it's a miraculous thing and he's done in my life.
Amen.
I know what kind of person I used to be.
Amen.
I've known the person I still am that needs to be changed too. Amen. And God is working. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Amen.
Amen.
You're a miracle too.
Amen.
God has changed you. Amen.
Yeah.
He changed you for the better.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a word today. I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We were here a little bit last week, and we're going to start here today as we continue to finish out this year strong. We're going to finish out this year strong.
Amen.
We're going to finish out this year with our health.
Amen.
And our wealth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we're going to also be filled with a purpose for it all. Because God is a God of purpose. Amen. He doesn't do anything by happenstance.
Yeah.
God does things on purpose. We should live on purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. Every day that you should have a purpose for what you're doing. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what are you doing that for? I don't know. Then you shouldn't be doing it. Amen. That's what I told them, amen, my kids. They're doing something, they don't know why, then you shouldn't be doing it. Because you should be a person of purpose.
Amen.
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 We serve a God of purpose, we're people of purpose. Amen. So we're going, you know, part of the purpose that we're here right now is that, listen, God wants to bless you. We're going to come back to the chain. God wants to bless you financially.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. If you don't want it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to bless you financially. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be pious, and if you want to be religious, and you want to think that there's glory and suffering and all that kind of stuff, then okay. I don't have time. I'm not going to try to convince you of that.
Okay.
Amen. I'm just going to preach the word of God. And those whose hearts and ears are open to hear what God has to say, if they release their faith, amen, they will walk in the prosperity that someone else despises.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But God wants to bless you financially, and it's for a purpose. And we want to keep looking at this. Why? Because, see, we want to continue to do good works in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that every good work requires money, but a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them do.
Right?
You can't feed the hungry, clothe the naked, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Many times you're going to need some financial resources to be able to do those things.
That's right.
You can't put a Bible in someone's hands.
That's right.
Amen? You don't have a Bible manufacturing plant, amen? So you got to go out and buy that Bible to put it in someone's hands. You have to buy that food to put it in someone's refrigerator. You have to buy those shoes to put it on someone's feet, right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, I can just give them what I have, okay? But if you're not, if you don't want to be prosperous, then probably all you have is enough for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Amen.
So we have to get to the mindset that God has for us. And God wants to prosper us. Amen? Let's look at the scripture. We'll pray. Let's look at the scripture. And then we'll go a little bit deeper on this week as we continue to get this into our heart and our mind. Because it's time for transformation.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, God. And Father, we empty ourselves of ourselves that we can be filled with all the wisdom of God.
Mm.
And we just ask you now, God, to speak into our hearts, speak into our minds, in the name of Jesus, that, Father God, that we may see, hear, and know as you see, hear, and know. Father God, we thank you right now for your word. Your word is truly a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, leading us in the way that we should walk. And Father, we want to walk in the revealed wisdom of your word. So, Father God, right now, God, open our eyes that we may see. Bless our ears to hear you with clarity and with understanding. Bless our hearts, O God, to receive that which you have for us. That, God, that we can walk by faith, not by sight. And that, Father, every promise of God that you've made for our lives, that we can see it come to pass. David said, I had faith, and unless I had the lead to see, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
Father, we believe that we shall see your goodness
yes.
in our lives.
Yes.
But Father God, we believe it all comes by your Spirit and by your Word as we walk in faith with you. So Father, let your Word come alive unto us right now.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the transformation
yes.
that is underway in our lives. And Father, we're excited about it, and we lift up our hands, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's read from verse number 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Jump down to verse 17. "And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day." Amen. So that's our foundation for this week, amen. And our title, amen, is God's Plan to Prosper You, amen. And this is the second part of this, amen. God's Plan to Prosper You. Now, I'd like to share with you that last week, as I was, preparing to come out and to be a part of the service, the title that I had written on the top of my bulletin was "The Prosperity of the Righteous." That's what I wrote down.
Okay.
And right before I left, I came out the door, God had me scratch it out and write "God's Plan to Prosper You." And it actually wasn't until early this morning, as I was finishing up preparing for today, that God made it plain to me why the change was so important. Because it took the focus off of us, the prosperity of the righteous. We are the righteousness of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And put it where it belongs.
Jesus.
Everything has to start with God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so it put it where it belongs. And so now, instead of talking about your prosperity and my prosperity, God now has us focusing on his plan.
Jesus. Yes. Amen.
To prosper you. And that's important to just understand. God has a plan to prosper you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not the preacher saying that. That's not the teacher saying that. That's God saying that.
Right. Amen.
That he has a plan to prosper you. We saw the scripture last week. Amen. Because it came up twice in the reflection, and then later on in the actual message of Jeremiah 29 and 11. Amen. The King James Version says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you." The New International Version says, "I know the plans I have for you."
Yes.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's God's plan.
Yes.
And he says, whether you know it or not, I know. The plan I have for you.
Yes.
So God wants us to get in line with his plan for our lives. And God plans to prosper you. That should be good news for somebody right now who's trying to rub two nickels together.
Yes. Amen.
You understand? That God has a plan to prosper you. And if you believe that, you'll hold on, amen, and not get into despair, because all you have right now is two nickels to rub together.
Yes.
If you know God has a plan, amen,
amen,
then you know your situation is going to change. I know God has a plan to prosper me, and you know what? I look for that plan to manifest itself every day of my life. Now, some days, it's, you know, nothing really happens. But I was about to even looking for it. And the next day, I'm getting up and I'm thinking, God has a plan to prosper me. God doesn't want to punish me. God doesn't want to punish you. God wants to prosper you. And He has a plan to do it. We want to get in line with that plan. Amen?
Amen.
And not be ashamed about it.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to get in line with it. But it starts with that covenant that we talked about last week with Abraham. And not only the covenant, but what does that covenant mean to you? Remember, God made 7 promises to Abraham. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth through you will be blessed.
Yeah.
That's the covenant He made. 7 promises. But we look inside those 7 promises and we see, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. So God plans to prosper you and plans to prosper me so that we can be a blessing. We have to get that, hold on to it, and know that is part of our covenant right as people of God.
Amen.
That we are blessed so that we can be a blessing.
Yes.
And here's the thing. We're not going to overly spiritualize this thing and make it seem like, well, God was talking about being blessed spiritually. Yes, yes. That's included, but please understand, amen, when we look at the covenant men of God, the Bible tells us that Abraham, in Genesis 13 and 2, was very rich in silver and gold and in cattle. That wasn't spiritually blessed, but it was talking about he was materially and financially very rich.
Yeah.
In Genesis chapter 26, it says this about Isaac. It says, he became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. If you remember, amen, when he sold in the land, it said God blessed him 100-fold and increased him.
Yeah.
Right? And he would dig a well, and every well that he dug, water would come out. The Philistines dug a well that was dry. And they got to the point they were so jealous of Isaac, they started throwing dirt in his well to stop up his well. But then he would just dig another one and he'd get water. They'd stop up that one. He'd dig another one and he'd get water. Why? Because the man was blessed. Don't you know people can't stop you?
Wow.
Your co-workers can hate on you. Your family members can hate on you. But they cannot stop the power of God operating in someone who knows that they're a covenant man or a covenant
Amen.
Woman. Amen. They got so jealous of Isaac, they told him, get away from us. Because you are too powerful for us. That's why some people don't want you around. It's not because they just don't like you. It's because they can't deal with you.
Amen.
But Isaac, the scripture says, was that he became a very rich man and his wealth continued to grow. Jacob, we're told in Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, was very wealthy. And if you remember, when he gave all the presents to Esau, after years and years of being estranged from his brother, he gave all these possessions as a way of trying to reconcile himself to Esau. Esau said, I don't want it. And Jacob said, no, you take it because I have more than enough.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what covenant people say. I have more than enough.
Amen.
Even when you look at Joseph, Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house. But the Bible tells us in Genesis 39 and 2 that he was a prosperous man.
Yes.
Because God was with him. And it said even Potiphar saw that everything that was the work of Joseph's hand, that God made it to prosper.
Yes.
Prosperity is part of the covenant that we have with God. Amen.
Amen.
So, we don't run away from that. We're not talking about being spiritually blessed. Now, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, what we just read. Verse 11 starts by saying, don't forget the Lord your God. Amen. How many of you know, you got to remember the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It says in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full. What's that talking about? That's talking about food. And after you have built goodly houses, food and houses, and when your herds and flocks multiply, herds and flocks, and your silver and gold is multiplied, silver and gold, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And look what it says in verse 7. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. What wealth? The food, the houses, the herds, yes, the flocks, yes, the silver, and the gold.
Right.
We ain't spiritualizing this.
Nope. That's what it's saying.
Well, this is talking about food and houses and herbs and silver and gold. And it says, don't you forget God, because then you'll say, I got this wealth.
Right.
Jesus.
But you shall remember the Lord your God. Why should you do it? For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. What wealth? The food, the houses, the flocks, the silver, the gold. He talked about that, oh, I'm wealthy spiritually. See, this was wrong with folk. And then they want to complain to you and complain to the preacher and complain to the pastor and complain to the first lady about how they can't keep their lights on. Well, if you stop being so darn spiritual,
Jesus.
Wow.
And hear what God is saying to you and believe what He says, maybe you'd be in a different situation.
Wow.
We're not spiritualizing this.
Right.
He's given us power to get wealth. Material thing. Just as He did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon.
Amen.
Right? Amen. He wants to do the same thing with you and with me. And we talked about last week that the reason why we're excited about the promises He made to Abram and to Abraham and to the fathers is because in Christ Jesus, we are partakers of all those promises. Right? Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? So that the blessings of Abraham may come upon us.
Yes.
So these blessings of Abraham are on our life right now. Amen?
Amen.
The blessing of Isaac on your life right now. Amen. Don't that mean you dig a well, you're going to have water.
Amen. Praise
you understand what I mean? You dig it in the same land other people are digging, you are going to have water, even though everybody else might not.
Yes. Amen.
That's why I've always said that the world's testimony is not my testimony.
Amen.
The world can testify that there's a recession. That's not my testimony.
Amen.
The world can talk about an outbreak of flu. That's not my testimony. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm a covenant man.
Mm.
Jesus.
And when you know you're a covenant man, when you know you're a covenant woman, you see things differently.
Wow.
The story of David and Goliath, we talked about this last week, but God led me there again this morning. Because when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, it says that when David came on the scene, that the other men who were scared, they saw Goliath. It said when they saw him, and they said, see, look how big he is. That's why they were scared. Because they were focused on Goliath, the towering giant. But the scripture says, that David said, who is this? He said it twice. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the army of God? See, his eye was on God and saying, how can this person who has no covenant stand in defiance to God and his people? And that's why he was able to run and take down the towering giant. Because his eye was on his God and the covenant he had. Whereas all the other soldiers were looking at the giant. See, think about the towering bills that are mounting in your life. If your eyes are on your bills, you're going to run and hide and be scared the same way that the men in that army kept looking at Goliath and were scared of the giant. But when your eyes are on your God and the covenant you have with God, you look at your bills and you say, who is this uncircumcised sack of bills that they're going to defy me of my covenant of prosperity that I have with God?
Amen.
Do you understand? You have a different perspective when you know you have a covenant.
Wow.
We're covenant people, but we have to be covenant minded. Amen. Don't look at your giant, because you will make your towering mountain of bills fall down as quickly as Goliath fell down. Amen. When you say, you are not going to find me and of the blessing of God that is on my life.
Amen.
We're covenant-minded. Amen. In Psalm 89:34, the scripture says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. That's God speaking. Amen. Not only did he make the covenant, but he's not going to break the covenant. That means that covenant is in place for you and for me. Now, I want to ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because you may want to just, if you haven't already, you may want to underline this scripture, but this is important, I think, for us to understand something, because, you know, when you look in the Bible, and especially look at Old Testament scriptures, so many of them are conditional, right? Mm-hmm. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. If you hearken to all my statutes and ordinances and commandments, right? You will see things like that.
Amen.
And some people say, well, why should I get excited about that? Because I'm not doing anything God tells me to do. You're looking at the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
See, right now, we got to understand something. We're better off than the people in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We're partakers of a better covenant that's built upon better promises. Why? Because Jesus came into this earth and he fulfilled all the requirements of the law.
Amen.
We don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus did it. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we now accept all that he did. That's why they who are in Christ Jesus are new creation. Everything is about our relationship in him. Now look what Paul says here. What's so important about that? Well, let's look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. You see what Paul said? All the promises of God in him, in Christ Jesus, are yea, and in him amen. All the promises of God. That's why you and I can look at these Old Testament promises and say they apply to us.
Amen.
Because in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yea and amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when God promises that if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, the blessings of God will overcome you, come upon you and overtake you, you can say that promise is real for me. Because all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Because he hearkened unto the voice of the Lord God.
Yeah.
And you get the benefit of his obedience.
Jesus.
Do you understand this?
Yes.
That's what it means to be in Christ. Everything is substitutionary, right? We take on Jesus' righteousness. We get the benefit of his obedience. You don't have to worry about being punished for what you're doing, because he took all your punishment.
Amen.
Yes. When you start to look at life differently, you're free from the shackles of religion and tradition and all these things that have been keeping us back.
Amen.
So you look at every promise all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. So guess what? Aren't you glad you're in relationship with Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Right. Amen. And so we can look at these promises that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and elsewhere throughout the Bible and realize that promise is yea and amen in my life. Amen. But now let's, so we see Deuteronomy 8, right, that it says that it is God who gives you the power to get well.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, understand, you have power residing on the inside of you to get well.
Yes.
And remember, wealth is spoken of in the context of food and houses and herds and flocks and silver and gold.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You have that power to get well. But with that power was also connected, was also a purpose, right? Why? So that He can establish the covenant that He made with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And He's saying what? I want to bless you, and I want you to be wealthy, and I want you to be like Jacob, have more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
For what reason? So that you can be a blessing to other people. And we have to understand, don't get all caught up on the power, but forget about the purpose.
Amen.
See, because that's what happened to the man in the scripture that Les read about this morning in Luke chapter 12.
Amen.
He understood he had the power because he was rich and his land brought forth more food, brought forth more crops.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no sense of purpose. All he knew was that he was rich and he said, I know what I'm going to do. He even said, I got more to live for years on. That's what he said. And it never once dawned on him to bless somebody else. It never once dawned on him to give his neighbor something.
Wow.
All he said was, I'm going to build a bigger barn. He had no purpose. See, he had the power to get the wealth, but he didn't know the purpose behind it. And God said, you're a fool. So understand something. If we get excited simply because we have the power to get wealth, but we don't focus on the purpose for that power, then God's going to look at us and say, you're foolish.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
But we're not foolish, amen?
Amen.
God has made us wise because we understand the power and the purpose. Amen? And watch this. If we understand that the purpose is for us to be a blessing,
mm-hmm.
then you will stop asking God to help you to pay your bills.
Mm. Jesus.
God has not given, can I say this? Listen, God has not given us the power to get wealth so that we can pay PSE&G.
Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's not the purpose.
Right.
The purpose for the power is so that you can pay somebody else's PSE&G.
Wow.
And when you start to think like that, your PSE&G bill becomes nothing. Now, someone is saying, you want to tell me that my bills aren't anything? No, I'm not saying your bills aren't anything, but I'm saying to you, your bills are something to you.
Right.
But your bills are nothing to God. And we have to see through the eyes of God. And what holds us back is that we look through our own eyes when we should be looking through the eyes of God. Your car note is a drop in a bucket to God.
Mm.
Your mortgage is a drop in the bucket. Your taxes are a drop in the bucket. The tuition is a drop in the bucket.
Amen.
To God. Now, how do we get to the point where we see with the eyes of God? We have to renew our mind.
Mm. Jesus.
Scripture says in Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love what the New Living Translation says. It says, be transformed into a new person by changing the way you think. We have to change the way we think. So instead of thinking, God, I want you to help me pay my bill. That's too low level. That's not the purpose of the power to get well.
Amen.
Raise up your thinking and say, God, you told me, you give me the power to get wealth, that you may establish the covenant that you swore unto the fathers. And part of that covenant, Lord, is that I'm blessed so that I can be a blessing. So, Lord, I'm believing on you that you're going to bless me in such a way that I can be a blessing to someone else. And guess what? Your bills are already paid in that kind of confession of faith. Because how in the world are you going to be a blessing to somebody else if your life's getting turned off?
Mm.
That's right.
Amen.
God did not empower you to pay your bills. He empowered you so that you can pay somebody else's bills.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But see, there's too many people in the body of Christ, they don't think like that.
Right.
Amen. Lord, bless me so I can buy a new car. Bless me so I can get new clothes. But listen, but if you are believing on God to bless you in such a way that you can be a blessing to someone else, that's why God said all those things will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you ain't got to worry about that stuff.
Right. Right.
All those things, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is His kingdom? He wants you to advance the kingdom of the earth by showing that you're a covenant person.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these things will be added unto you. Amen. But you know what's funny along the way? All those things become less significant to you.
Yes.
That's the funny thing. Amen. But listen, you can have all that stuff. Because God's not against you having nice stuff. And if God's not against it, I ain't against it.
Right.
Amen.
So if somebody can stop that right there. Or he didn't want me to know him. Preacher don't want you to give him nothing.
Amen.
Amen. God's taking care of me just fine.
Amen.
But here's the thing, let's raise our level of thinking. Think like a covenant man and a covenant woman that you are. Amen?
Amen.
Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures and then we're going to leave so you can go home and meditate on these things. Homework. If you're serious about it, amen?
Amen.
God has a plan to prosper you. And this plan to prosper you is so that you can be blessed and be a blessing to other people in His name. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6. I'm going to read from the Amplified version. It says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone. Let's stop right there. Did you hear that part right there? I'm going to repeat it. Amen. He who sows generously, for what purpose? That blessings may come to someone.
Jesus. Yes. Amen.
Watch this. Will also reap generously and with blessings. See how it works? God wants you to be generous with what He gives you so that you can let blessings come to somebody else. And when you do that, He then says you'll reap generously and with blessings. What's that mean? It's a cycle. Part of your covenant rights. Let each one give, verse 7, as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. But God loves, He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in His giving. God's looking for people like that. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient,
Jesus,
possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Yes.
So why are you blessed like that? So that you don't have any need, you don't need anybody to help you out, and you have enough to support other good works and charitable donations.
Yeah.
Amen.
That means so that you can bless and you can give.
Right.
You can give and you can give.
Right.
Verse number 9. As it is written, He The benevolent person scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness, kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, and God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. See, God's going to keep blessing you so that you can be involved actively, amen, in acts of goodness, kindness, and charity.
Yeah.
Now look at this one. I love verse 11. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way. You hear? You see that? Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way. Why? So you can build a bigger barn? No. So that you can be generous. I remember that first time that God allowed me to see that and how that word jumped off the page. Wait a minute, God. You're blessing me so that I can be generous.
Amen.
Come on. You're not blessing me so I can buy bigger, better, more. That's going to be part of it, but the purpose of it is that I can be generous. You will be enriched in all things and in every way so that you can be generous. And your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. So what does that mean? That is, you're blessed. And now you understand the purpose behind which God has given you wealth, that you can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Then you go around being generous.
Right.
And what happens? It results in thanksgiving being made unto God.
Right. Yes.
By you, because you're grateful that you're able to be generous.
Amen.
And by the person whom you have blessed.
Right.
Because they now thank God for you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And guess what? If we live according to the purpose, you ever know sometimes you write and there's a heading, mm-hmm. and then there's a subheading,
mm-hmm.
right? There's topics and there's subtopics. Mm-hmm. Well, the heading is to be a blessing.
Right.
So you're a blessing, but the subtopic is you'll be blessed. Mm-hmm. You have yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's the subtopic.
Right.
That's not the reason why God is blessing you. I want a house, I want a car. Would you stop? Focus on the heading.
Right.
Wow.
And that's the subheading. That's why we miss it. Because we focus on the subheading.
I need new pair of shoes.
If you were focused on the heading, you'd have six new pair of shoes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yes.
If you focus on the heading which says, I want you to be generous.
Right.
Then the other stuff, all that stuff, is going to be added to you. Right? Is this a different way of thinking? Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. See, God gives me the power to get wealth so that I can be generous.
Wow.
You should go home and say that to yourself. God has given me the power to get wealth. So that I can be generous.
Amen.
I was going to share this later, but I feel compelled to share it now.
Amen.
God gave me a dream. It has to be about 15 years ago. That I was writing a check for six figures to somebody.
Wow.
I'm holding on to that dream.
Amen.
I'm believing on that dream.
Right.
I can't wait to do it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I ain't no fool. If I can write a check.
Right.
Bad.
Come on now.
For six figures. What does that must mean about my bank account?
Amen.
That's right.
Do you understand?
Yes.
But I ain't concerned about my bank account because God gave me the. Why did God give me a dream about my bank account?
Right.
He didn't. The dream was about me blessing somebody.
Right. Come on.
Why? Because that's his heart.
Right.
And I'm in line with his heart. So Lord, I said, Lord, I can't wait to do that.
Right.
And here's the thing, I'm holding God to it.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I'm holding God to it. God, you said it. I've been believing on this for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And that day's going to come. I believe that by faith in the Son of God. Amen. 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 I'm going to write that check. And here's the thing, ain't nobody going to know the day I write it.
Right.
And in my mind, it's a foregone conclusion. It already happened. It happened from the time God said it was going to happen.
Right, right.
Wow. Write the check. Why? That's what God wants us to be blessings to other people. Right? And when we get this understanding, that's part of our covenant. You never saw Abram asking God to give him something to eat. You never saw Jacob asking, right? They had.
Right.
More than enough. And God will take our just enough and make it more than enough when we stop trying to think the way we want to think and start getting in line with how God is thinking. When we become covenant-minded. Amen. I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. And my part in this thing is that God, you said you blessed me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. That I can be generous.
Amen.
To other people. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:28 real quickly. Because here's the thing that the enemy does to people in the body of Christ. He convinces, he spends a whole lot of time trying to convince God's people that you need to be concerned about you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that he can get you to cut back on your generosity. Because if you cut back on your generosity, you stop acting like a covenant person.
Wow.
You see? And you just become like anybody else who doesn't have the covenant. But you have a covenant of blessing to be a blessing. And don't let the devil try to scare you into not being generous because you're afraid that you're not going to be able to have enough to take care of you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Release your faith and allow God to show you His more excellent way.
Amen.
Look at this. Ephesians 4:28. I'm reading from the Amplified. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. See, that's covenant thinking. And you're not working to pay your bills. You're working with your own hands so that you can have something to give to somebody else. See, I'm going to say, okay, that's it. I'm done. Right there, they're going, I'm done. I ain't listening to this anymore. Right? That's what they're going to say.
Right.
You mean to tell me I'm getting up every day at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work so I can give to somebody else in need? I ain't never come to that church. I'm done. Is that what the scripture says?
What it says.
What's the purpose? Is God saying that you shouldn't take care of yourself and your family? No, what he's saying is, understand, if you raise your thinking and stop thinking simply about yourself. Because understand, when you think about yourself, you're the man and you're the woman with the bigger bond. Don't have a bigger bond mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we talked about how much he said, I and my last week when we looked through the scripture? Don't be like him.
Amen.
But understand this. If you're supposed to be a giver to other people in need, understand that must mean your needs are already met.
Wow.
That's
it. So stop thinking about that. And think about, God, I want to meet other people's needs. Because you understand, if you're empowered enough to meet somebody else's needs, that's because you have more than enough to meet your own.
Amen.
And that's when the floodgates open in your life. Because God knows, now you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you get it. But there are Christians who are going to go to their grave, and they're going to be on their way to heaven, but they're going to go scrounging around because they never got beyond this idea, I need to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's too limited thinking, amen? God wants you to think expansively. I'm supposed to bless the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
And when you do that, that power that you have to get well starts really operating in your life. Because now that power gets activated because you're not thinking about your own household. You're thinking about other people's households.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. And then you're operating at a higher level. It's not about paying your gas bill, amen?
Amen.
It's not about that. That's not the purpose. And when we raise up our purpose, we'll see, and when we get more expansive, bigger in our thinking, God will become bigger in our lives. But we are putting God in a box. Now I'm just going to look at a few scriptures that I want these to get into your spirit, and then we're going to leave. Amen. But I want you to know that God wants to prosper you so that you have more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
God's plan to prosper you is so that you have more than enough. And that you then can be generous.
Right.
And help meet other people's needs. Amen.
Amen.
God wants you to be a distribution channel.
Amen.
Resources flow into you and through you out to other people. Amen. Amen. We know Psalm 23, right?
Yeah.
Psalm 23 and 1 says what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. New Living Translation of Psalm 23 and 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. I shall not want means I shall not lack. Mm-hmm. Right? Why is that important to us to say that and to understand and to say it out loud? Because then you won't be afraid of being generous. What keeps a lot of people from being generous is that they don't think they have all that they need. I need this money. Right?
That's true.
Right? I can't give you $10. I need this money. But when you believe the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, you can be more generous.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Understand, Psalm 23 and 5 says what? My cup. Get that mentality. Say that to yourself over and over again. Amen. My cup runneth over. What's that mean? You got more than enough. Your cup overflows. That's what the word says. That's what you say. I have enough. I can give somebody else a drink. Why? Because my cup runneth over. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Because these scriptures are going to let us know something. What? That if you become covenant-minded and get your mind on what God is saying, you won't be afraid of not having enough for you and your family. Because that's the biggest fear that the devil is trying to put on people of God, so that they won't be generous. But remember, God is looking to bless you so that you can be generous. Look at Proverbs 11. Let me get there as well. Proverbs 11 and 25. Amen. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. New Living Translation says, the generous will prosper. Amen. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You see how God works? When you do something for someone else, you encourage them, you refresh them, you help them, you bless them, he said, you're going to be blessed right back.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're so concerned about, I don't have enough for myself, see, that's what the devil wants it. He wants God's people to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a covenant man, amen? My cup runneth over. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Easy for you, sir. You mean because you probably don't have
it. No, no. If you say it, you'll have it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, people say, well, it's easy for you to say. No, it's not easy for me to say. Here's the problem. If you start to say the same word, you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But see, some people don't even want to say it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to do it. They don't want to stand on it. But yet they want the promise. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say it and think it and meditate on this thing and believe that every time and take every bill that comes that tries to challenge you in your faith and you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
Don't say it when the money comes, because the money may never come
right.
if you're waiting for the money to come before you say it. You got to say it before the money comes.
Amen.
Because it's going to make the money come,
right.
because it's going to activate the power in you to get wealth. So the liberal soul shall be made fat. A couple more scriptures. Proverbs 19. These are for you to meditate on, to underline, to write down. Write on the palm of your hands like you used to when you were cheating on your test in school. Whatever you need to do, amen. Keep the word before you, amen. Amen. Amplified 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he, the Lord, will repay to him. See, when you and I give to those who are in need, it's like giving to God. Remember Jesus said, you came to me when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. They said, when did you do that? They said, when you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. When we help people in need, God takes it personally. And he said, I'll pay you back. And how many of you know, God's credit is good.
Amen.
Amen. If God said he's going to repay you, he's going to repay you then some and more. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And let's look at verse number 27. Proverbs 28:27. It says, he who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes from their want will have many a curse.
Wow.
See, when we are generous to people who are in need, what does Scripture say? You're not going to lack. But see, the devil wants to say, if you give to other people, you're not going to have enough for yourself. You see how he's trying to twist the word around? If you give to them, you're not going to have enough for yourself. That's not what God says.
Right.
He said, if you give to other people, you won't want.
Right.
That's why we have to, if we're covenant minded, we're always looking to see, how can I give, how can I be a blessing to somebody?
That's it.
And when you're like that, God says, you won't want. Somebody said, well, how can I do it? Listen, if all you can give is a dollar, give a dollar.
Right.
Start where you are.
Right.
If all you can give is time, give time. Start where you are.
Amen.
But be covenant minded and realize, I'm here to be a blessing to somebody. Because that's going to activate that power on the inside of you
right.
to get well.
Amen.
Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Verse number 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. See? Don't worry about the fact that, oh, if I do that, I won't be able to take care of my family. When you fear the Lord and you operate in His commandments, the Lord will bless you more and more,
right.
you and your children.
Amen. Right.
Is that what the Word says?
Yes.
What it says.
But we got to stop thinking the way the world thinks.
Mm-hmm. If I do that, no, I can't do that. I got to take care of mine. Me and mine. Yeah.
See, that's the problem. That's exactly the problem.
Yeah.
But man, when you're generous, when you are covenant-minded, when you're thinking about being a blessing unto other people, God says you won't have anything. You won't lack anything. You and your children will increase.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? You won't have enough, and even after you're gone, your children won't have enough. Because of your righteousness. Because of your obedience. Amen? I was done right there, but God gave me one more, so I got to give you one more. And this is Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, God is talking about the fast that he required. You remember that?
Yeah.
Is this the fast that I require? Now, we're not going to read the entire chapter of 58. We're just going to read two verses, and then we're going to get down from here. Isaiah 58, verse number 10. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And if you pour out that which you sustain your own life, and if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life, that means, right, how do you sustain your own life? Through your money, right? Among other things, right? But if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places, and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Yes.
So what is it saying? If you take that with that you use to sustain yourself and help other people who are hungry and who are in need, God says you're going to be like a watered garden whose waters fail not. Does that sound like you're not going to have enough? So we want to change our way of thinking. Amen. We want to change our way of thinking. Amen. And get to this point where we understand something like David. I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant man. God's not going to break his covenant with me. And I'm blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
And so I'm not going to be solely concerned. I'm not going to be limited and think only about how am I going to get by. That's why you're only getting by. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're thinking only about how you're going to get by, all you're ever going to do is get by. But you start to think about how can I be a blessing? And right now you can even say, Lord, you can tell them, Lord. Lord, I don't even have enough money to pay PSENG. How am I supposed to be a blessing to somebody else? Ask him that question. You know what he's going to say? I'm glad you asked. You know what he might tell you? Make a cake for your neighbor.
Wow.
But you want to think about making no cake for your neighbor? You even like your neighbor. Don't even speak to you. But God says, make a cake for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And in your obedience, you never know why you're mixing up the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
While you're putting on the frosting, God gives you a witty invention.
Yep.
He gives you an idea that opens up doors.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed you to remember somebody you met years ago who can be influential in your life like that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Right. Amen.
But let's be covenant minded.
Amen.
Let's not think about how to get by, how to pay the bills, and all those kind of things. Let's think broader than that. How can I be a blessing? I'm a covenant man. I'm supposed to be a blessing, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm living out of my car, but you said I'm supposed to be a blessing. I tell you what, you won't be living in your car for long.
Because
God will lead you. He will guide you continually. Amen? Mm-hmm. So that you can water other people and that your waters won't fail.
Yeah.
Amen. Yesterday, we had a guy come out to service our furnace for the winter. And, you know, he came and he said, I want to show you something.
Never a good thing.
You see this stuff right here?
Yeah.
That means something going on the inside. You see this right here? That means something going on the inside. I told my wife when she came home. I said, How much did it cost to get a new one in? Well, to get the furnace, and get this, and get the coil, and get that, you're looking at about $6,500. I looked at the face and I said, okay. I feel like I have $6,500 in my pocket,
right.
But I'm looking at him through the eyes of God.
Right.
Amen.
You think God is moved by $6,500?
Nope.
No.
Why don't you die?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We got to start to look at our lives through the eyes of God.
Right.
See, what we that tell that supposed to be $6,500, we don't want to get money like that. I ain't got money like that. I don't know for what he's.
Right, that's how the enemy works.
So you look into your own eyes. You're looking at your own bank account.
Right.
Your life, David's brothers and the rest of the army will keep looking at Goliath. Mm-hmm. You gotta make a determination. Are you gonna keep looking at Goliath or you gonna start looking at God?
Wow.
Yeah. I ain't looking at Goliath, because Goliath can't help me. Goliath is my enemy. I ain't looking at Goliath. So he's talking about $6,500. Then I'm looking at the repairman. I ain't looking at you.
Right.
I'm looking at the guy for whom $6,500 is a drop in the bucket.
Amen.
And if I'm releasing my faith and believing, can God love what? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But when you operate in faith, you please God. I got to do it.
Right.
Let's change the way we think. Amen. Let's keep asking God, Lord, change the way I think.
Amen.
Because there's more world in us than we would like to believe.
Right.
Amen. There's more world in us than we would like to believe.
Amen.
God still has to complete the work.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. So listen, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go home and be like a Berean. Search the scriptures and see if what the preacher said is true. Amen. We looked at some scriptures like this again and read them. Let them get into you. Amen. And then do this. Amen. You got a smartphone, you got a tablet, you got a computer, you got a desktop, you got a laptop. Type in prosperity scriptures. And just start reading. Let it get in your spirit what God is saying.
Amen.
And let it change the way you think. Amen.
Yeah.
And understand God has a plan to prosper you. Amen. But he also has a purpose behind it. Be focused on both the plan and the purpose. And if you do that, amen, change is going to come.
Amen.
Change is going to come. And you're going to have more than enough. You're going to be like Jacob. I got more than enough. Right? And you're going to be, in order you're going to be doing, you're going to be looking for ways for you to be generous. God wants us to live.
Amen.
What you need, brother? Man, I need $200. $200. And you just, and you go and say, okay. And you know in yourself, okay, I'm going to give him that money. Right?
Amen.
Isn't that a good way of living?
Yes.
Can I tell you when he does the best lesson on my feet? Sister Vanell. We give away turkeys, right?
Yes.
How many turkeys?
Last year, 130.
How much 130 turkeys cost?
2,000.
Something like
2,000.
No. I think that's back to school. No.
That's about how much
we spent. Really? Okay. I trust them for that. Because 100, much more than 130, though. Somebody must have got some fat ones. What do you call them, fat ones?
Tom
turkey. Tom. A bunch of toms up in there. The big one.
Right.
But come on, somebody. How can you give up? How can look at us. How in the world are we giving $1,000 worth of turkeys to people? If you stop to ask yourself that. How much back to school cost?
About
24. How are we getting $2,400 school supply? Look at us. How are we doing that?
God.
Because we operate on covenant principles.
Amen.
And we've been doing that before a lot of before we met a lot of y'all. But that's how we operate. And guess what? And we're able to get to me. You know why? Because we are focused on what? Being generous.
Amen.
And God said, if you focus on doing that, you'll have more than enough. If we ever had to come and do a chicken dinner so we can pay the rent? We ever come to you saying we need to pay the rent? Why not? Because God is faithful to what He says. And if we just get in line with how He's thinking, the same thing can go on in our personal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, how are you doing it? The same way they said us. How are you guys doing that? We ain't doing it.
Amen.
We just operating with God according to His principles.
Yes. Yes.
And if we do that in our personal life.
Right.
Somebody saying, don't you work down at the dock? Mm. How are you doing that? Because you operate like a covenant man.
Amen.
Who understands His covenant rights. And who understands the purpose behind the power that God has given you to get well.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Let's change the way we think. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You praise. We give You thanks. We give You glory on today. Father, we thank You, God, as we come into this home stretch of the year. God, You are speaking words of encouragement and strength, words of life as it pertains to our health and to our finances. God, we thank You that You desire that we be healthy, that we be whole, that we be financially sound, that we be prosperous, that we have more than enough so that we can be generous. And do it all in Your great name. God, who would want to be around a God whose people are busted and disgusted, who are broke and who are failing? God, what kind of testimony is that to Your goodness? But Father God, You desire to prosper us so that people can see that the blessing of the Lord truly makes us rich and it adds no sorrow with us. But Father, that after we're blessed and as we're blessed, that we are a blessing.
Yes, Father.
Faithful to the covenant that we have through Christ Jesus. So Father, we thank You right now that You are making us into new people.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
By changing the way we think.
Yes.
And Father, we align our thoughts with Your thoughts. We are covenant men, covenant women, covenant people. And as we operate in that covenant, the power to get wealth rises up in us, and all the resources that we need to take care of ourselves and our family, we will have that in abundance so that we can be generous to those around us. And You made a promise, God, that if we are generous to those who are in need, we will never have want.
Yes.
Father, we believe Your word to be true. That God be true and every man a liar.
Yes.
And Father, we stand on Your word today. Help us, God, to even elevate our thinking even the more.
Yes.
Help us to meditate on the word. Lead us into more scriptures. Lead us into more truth.
Yes. Yes.
That we can operate at a higher level in the covenant that we have with You. Father, we believe we're going to end this year strong, that our finances are going to turn around, and Father, we are going to be generous to those around us. And we're going to give You all the glory and all the praise for it, because it is Your doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So Father, by faith right now, we thank You. Our cups runneth over. Glory to God. Our accounts are full. Glory to God. Our bills are paid. Glory to God. We are paying other people's bills right now. Glory to God. We are buying Christmas presents for other people. Glory to God. Father, we thank You right now that we are a blessing unto others because we have been blessed by You.
Yes.
Yes. Thank
you. So, Father, we give You praise and we give You thanks for lifting up our thoughts and for ridding us of that worldly mentality.
Yes.
Glory to God. And Father, we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.